And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Oh, it's so great to be with you today, and I have a wonderful topic that I'd like to discuss with you, to examine with you. And, you know, please put on your thinking cap, put on your tools of discernment, your heavy armor, because I'm going to require some real thought and some real intelligent understanding of you today. And I promise to do my part. I've been thinking about these things for a long, long time. And finally, I just decided, you know, now is the time to talk about being dispossessed. Do you feel that you're dispossessed? Well, you know, I'm pretty well convinced that the Illuminati and the elite are possessed. They're possessed, all right. They're possessed of devil spirits, and they're consumed with their greed. Now, on the other hand, it seems that most good Americans today, and I believe that you are a good American, and you wouldn't be listening to this program. And if you're over in Australia or New Zealand or Romania or Russia, South Africa, Great Britain listening to my program, well, I know you're a good citizen of your country. And you know, I'm going to talk about nationalism and patriotism today, but this is not some July the 4th speech. I'm going to get into the real core of things. Now, first of all, I'm going to start off by proposing to you that certainly there has been an Illuminati conspiracy for hundreds of years, but now it's escalating. Now it's getting rapid. It's hitting us with staccato machine gun action right now, every day, every moment. There's a blizzard of actions. There is a bewildering array of battles going on. And sometimes it totally overwhelms you and me. And yet the next morning we get back up, we put on our pants and our shirt or our dresses and our skirts, and we brush our teeth, comb our hair, grab a bite to eat, and we're off to the wars all over again. Now, I want you to understand something. Of course, there's an Illuminati. There is a system of dictatorial magic that has now enveloped America and the world. And from now on, events will cascade down our necks and shoulders. And it will break the backs of many people. But that doesn't have to happen to you. Friends, you can be an overcomer. I'm going to tell you how to do that today. I want to propose to you that there are four great foes of Illuminism in the world. And you're going to have to decide whether you're going to join the Illuminist. In other words, help the devil and Lucifer bring in his tikkun, his new world order, his Jewish utopia, or whether you're going to fight it, whether you're going to occupy this world for Jesus Christ, for the forces of righteousness, or whether you're going to give in, assist Satan and his legions and his many human disciples, and just enjoy whatever you can of life. Take whatever pleasures you can reap and then go into damnation forever. Because that's really the two choices that you have. And the thing is, as the world explodes into this Illuminati period of history, the age really of the Illuminati, you and I cannot avoid the issue anymore. For decades, for generations, people have been trying to avoid making choices. But you can't do it anymore. It's required of you to decide. The masters of this world have taken a sword and drawn a line in the sand. And you know what? I think God is right there too, and he has drawn a line in the sand. So you have to stand with the goats or the sheep, because Jesus said that he will divide the goat from the sheep and that he will judge the nations as well as individuals. Now, four great foes of Illuminism, but they're not all equal. They don't have the same powers or abilities. And I want to tell you that only one of these foes is going to be able to stand in the last days. So you're going to have to decide which of these four, if you're going to fight the Illuminati and the Illuminist, you'll have to join one of these four forces. Actually, you can be more than one of them. Actually, you can. You can be more than one. But there's one alone that will reward you as the overcomer. The rest of them will go down into flaming defeat eventually. Although you can try them out. You can diddle around, fiddle around with them. Now, first of all, we have to understand what the Illuminati is and what Illuminism is if we're going to fight it. Because let me tell you, they know what you are. They've got you figured out. That's the reason for Big Brother's computer systems today. They know everything about you. They're watching you. They've got their video cams. They know every stroke of the computer you've taken. They know what television shows you watch. They know what you say to friends. They know what subscriptions of magazines that you take. They know what books you buy. They know what books you check out at the library. They got you figured out, buddy. You can't escape. Who are these people? What do they want? First of all, please understand they're evil, but more than that, they're out of their minds. They are psychopaths. They're megalomaniacs. They're rebels against God, against everything good, and they're annihilists. They want to annihilate tradition and goodness and kindness and love and replace it with death and putrid hatred of mankind and even of nature. That's right. Even if they say I'm a great environmentalist, a great conservationist, they're a liar. Because the book of Revelation tells us that these are the men and women who it says God will destroy because they are the ones who destroyed the earth. They're against nature itself. God has put nature here and he has given it a scientific mechanism of continuation. Nature will continue till the end, but they seek to destroy it. I'm not talking about people who cut down trees to build a home or a business or a road or a library or something. I'm talking about nature. They want to change nature. They want to use medical technology and immunizations to change nature, to bring diseases and horrors to inflict them on the world. They want to use chemtrails to make us sick. They want to abuse the world. Don't ever think they want to save Mother Earth. They're not interested in saving anything. They're interested in being marauders. Now, they're megalomaniacs. They're psychopaths. What is a psychopath? Well, Webster's Dictionary says it's a disordered state characterized by people who know of the social and moral obligations that they should meet, but instead they derive pleasure by pursuing immediate personal gratification regardless of these social and moral obligations. They're narcissistic. They're selfish. And thus, they are more than willing to commit criminal acts, engage in drug addictions, sexual perversions, whatever it takes to make themselves feel good. Sometimes they're on power trips. They become senators or congressmen or presidents or CEOs so they can lord it over other people. And they can enjoy sadistically mutilating, manipulating, controlling other people. They're megalomaniacs with a mental disorder. They have infantile feelings. They really are incompetent, but they put on a front. And they have delusions of grandeur, but deep inside they know they're worthless little worms and pigs. That's why they hate you if you're a competent person. Seeing the movie many, many years ago, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson and some others. Turns out, Nurse Ratchet, the nurse in charge of the psychiatric ward, was the craziest of all. She ended up giving lobotomies to the ones that were actually mentally okay. They ended up with lobotomies, and she ended up controlling them all. Nurse Ratchet and her sick, evil smile. It's been my experience, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone, but if the shoe fits, wear it, that most psychologists, psychiatrists are out of their minds. They're nuts. They're infantile. They're cases of arrested development. And if you go to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist for some problem, maybe for counseling on your marriage, why don't you just go take yourself and throw yourself into a septic tank that's 20 foot tall and full of muck? You may as well. That's what their minds are all full of, muck. They can't help you. They're so full of garbage themselves from their training. You say, Tex, how do you know this? I know it because I have an advanced college degree in learning psychology, in adult education from one of the top universities in the world. I taught at the senior level at the university courses in psychology and adult adjustment. And most of the people who wrote the textbooks I used were nuts. And I had to teach something other than what they were putting into their textbooks because they were insane. R.D. Lang, who's been called one of the greatest psychologists of the 20th century, late in the 20th century, as an old, old man, he was invited to attend the American Association of Psychiatry, I think it was. All the top psychiatric doctors went there, the witch doctors, I called them. And he had been president of this august group before. That's how highly thought of he was, R.D. Lang, Dr. R.D. Lang. Here he was, an old man, having been a psychologist, a psychiatrist for all those years. And I know there's a slight difference between psychologist and psychiatrist, but they're both witch doctors, so I just stick him in the same category. He was actually a psychiatrist. He had a medical degree, plus he was a weird nut job in his head. But in any case, he was being recognized as one of the pioneers of American psychiatry. And so they brought him out, and he went slowly up to the podium. And there were, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 psychiatrists. The most distinguished group of psychiatrists in the world were there to hear Dr. Lang. And he said this. He said, you know, I'm often asked what over 50 years of psychiatry has taught us and has accomplished. And he said, in coming here today to speak to you, I wanted to give you a list, a laundry list of things that have been accomplished by psychiatry. But regrettably, I cannot find but one thing. Only one thing that over 50 years, you know, through Freud and Jung and all the other great psychiatrists, Eric Fromm, et cetera, et cetera, et al., I can only think of one thing that psychiatry, that I know for sure about psychiatry. Friends, would you like to know what Dr. R.D. Lang, former president of the American Psychiatric Association, one of the greatest so-called psychiatrists in the history of mankind, had to say? The one thing in 50 years of psychiatry he knew for sure. Here it is. When a man or a woman goes for counseling, they usually want to go back again. That's it. When somebody goes for counseling, they usually want to go and do it again. That's all he learned. That's all psychiatry is. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to your wife, your husband, your pastor, your Christian friend. Don't go to a psychiatrist. But they know they can make money. If you go see them one time, they go, They're looking at their clock. Yeah, well, your 50 minutes are up. That'll be $140. Thank you very much. Oh, you don't have medical insurance that'll pay for this? Oh, you don't have the money? Don't come see me again. I'm not interested in helping you. I'm interested in your $140 an hour, which actually is not an hour because, you know, I have to do things between patients. It's only 50 minutes. Okay, I think we've covered psychiatry enough. That's really all psychiatry is all about. Making money. Seeing foolish people who want to keep going back again and again. Because they themselves usually are narcissistic and they want to talk about themselves. And they like it. They enjoy it. That's it. Okay, so we handle that. We've taken care of psychiatry. R.D. Lang told us all about it. 50 years, what it has taught him. All right, now, these four great foes of Illuminism, these idiots, these crazed psychopaths who are willing to commit crimes, murders, whatever it takes to give themselves power because they are under some grand delusion that they are more important than you and me. They're so selfish and self-centered. Now, one thing you have to understand about the Illuminist is that they are collectivist. They don't have enough confidence in themselves, so they need a collective. A collective is an assortment, a group of people that they can depend on to do their dirty work. You know, Stalin had to appoint various Jewish commissars as head of his gulags. He had to have certain Jewish butchers head of his secret police and head of the KGB and so on and so on. They're collectivist. And they can't trust individuals, so they have to have a group. So if one person betrays them, the other members of the group gang up on him and kill him or put him in prison or rat on him, whatever they have to do. Collectivist. They're not individualist. Second is they're thieves and they're robbers. They don't want to work hard for getting things for themselves. They'd rather take from you. It's easier to steal than it is to work for something. The third is, in being collectivists and robbers, they use a tactic called mobocracy. Some people call it democracy. But it's when you make people think that they have the gun. They have the power. They have the hammer. But really, excuse my Texas accent, they ain't got nothing. They're just part of a mob. And the mob psychology is stirred up by these psychopaths who appeal to it with flattery and other techniques. Finally, they are very cunning and agile in that they deceive people. They're so good at deceiving people that people begin to love their servitude. Aldous Huxley in 1962, and he was, talk about a psychologist and a writer. Remember he wrote the book Brave New World? He said in a speech at the University of California at Berkeley to a bunch of weird whack jobs that were just as weird as he was. Everybody at University of California are a bunch of Marxist, crazy, dirty vultures. And he was one of them too. That went to speak to him. That's why they invited him there. They don't invite Tex Marxists of this world. Friends, if you're listening to this radio program, they're not going to invite you to speak to any college or university group. Because you'd use common sense. You'd speak plain to them. You'd tell the truth. My goodness gracious. What a horror that would be on most university campuses today, to speak the truth. But Aldous Huxley says that the ultimate in control of peoples and nations will be to cause people not to do things because they're afraid, but to do things because they love their servitude. They love serving. You know, there are a lot of people like that. Somebody told me recently that they got on the internet to find out about people who lack bondage and who lack this, you know, like the master-slave relationship. Wow. Evidently, there's a lot of people who just like being slaves, like being told what to do. Isn't that odd? They like being told what to do by another human being or group of human beings. And they want to conform. Oh, they want so much to conform. So they convince themselves that Big Brother and his agents are wonderful, loving, kind. Even while they're being pierced, even while pain is being inflicted on them, even though while their pocketbooks are being picked, they say, it's only because Big Brother loves me. They love their servitude. Okay. Now, unfortunately for Big Brother and the psychopaths who run our government and the governments of this world, the Illuminists, most people who listen to this radio program do not love their servitude. The only one I love to serve, really, ultimately, is my master, is Jesus Christ. And yes, I do love my servitude. But you know, Jesus treats me really kind. He gives me so much freedom. There is liberty in Christ Jesus. It is an amazing paradox. Even Jesus said it. If you lose your life for his sake, you gain it. But if you seek to keep your life for yourself, well, really the devil has you in bondage. And even the ultra-famous Bob Dylan singer himself said, no man can serve two bosses. Well, he was echoing Jesus, wasn't he? Nobody can serve two masters. And you know, friends, you can't serve Big Brother and Jesus at the same time. It doesn't happen that way. I set out to serve Jesus Christ at the age of 16 many years ago, and you know, I've been a free man ever since. Even Jesus said, take upon his yoke. It's very light. Your burden will be so light, you'll be amazed. Met a young lady just a couple weeks ago. She's in her early 20s, but she's already an alcoholic. Said she just can't help herself. She's going to AA meetings. She's into sex and all kind of degradations. She said, I just don't know how to escape this lifestyle. I told her she was in bondage. She said, well, I'm not in bondage. I get up when I want. I eat when I want. I usually don't get up till noon. I don't even put my makeup on till it's time to go out partying every night. Then I go out, get soused, get drunk, barely make it home. Next day, I wake up in the morning, I'm vomiting, throwing up, I'm sick. Then it starts all over again. That's my life. I said, how do you feel about that life? She said, I'm miserable. I said, so you are in bondage. Well, oh yeah, you're in bondage. She didn't even know she was in bondage. She kept insisting, I'd like to get out of this lifestyle, but I don't know how. Somebody put blinders over her. She was in bondage and she was blind as to how to get out. She kept saying, I'm miserable. I want to get out, but I don't know how. I told her how. I told her how to get out, what to do. I talked with her yesterday. Evidently, she hasn't got out yet. She hasn't followed my advice. I guess my advice was so simple. It was too easy. Well, go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist And they'll spend many, many hours. They'll start off all the way back to your infancy and bring you up all the way through childhood, all the way up to adulthood. And maybe they can find something in your past that can explain your servitude, your miserableness, your unhappiness, your bondage. Well, that's what the Illuminati wants you to be in, bondage. To love it. You're not going to enjoy it now. It's just what you have to do. Because you can't see a better way. There is a better way. But the world won't tell you about it. Psychologists and psychiatrists won't reveal it to you. They don't know themselves. They cannot understand, because Daniel 12 verse 10 says that those who are wise in the things of God will have understanding in the last days. But those who are wicked will not understand. Now, four great foes of Illuminism. First, nationalist. Nationalist. They're patriots. I don't care whether they're Irishmen, Mexicans, Canadians, Americans, Russians. They're nationalist. They're a foe of Illuminism. The Illuminists hate nationalists. Are you American? Do you say, I love America, I put this nation before other nations? Then you're a nationalist. You can feel the same way about Great Britain or some other country, if you're a citizen of that country. You're a nationalist. You're a patriot. And that is unacceptable. Now, the second great foe of Illuminism is individualist. Remember I told you that the Illuminati are collectivist? Maybe you're a person that says, I like to think for myself. I'm not going to budge to collectivism, to socialism, to communism. I'm not going to let Big Brother tell me what to do. I'm going to get my guns. I'm going to make sure I have my Bill of Rights, my little copy of the Constitution, tattered and all, put it in my back pocket. And there I'm out there doing whatever I want to do. If I don't want to get a driver's license, some people say, I'm not going to get one. If they stop me, I'm going to say, I have a right to the road, and I don't need a driver's license. I'm not going to get my car inspected. If I don't want to wear my seat belts, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, a lot of people take this to an extreme, but I sort of like individualists. A lot of people are libertarians. If I want to go out and have sex with a girl, I'll do it, or a guy. Nobody can tell me what is right. Bunch of old prudes out there, bunch of old-fashioned fuddy-duddies. I'll have sex with whoever I want, whenever I want. However I won't. Individualist. Third, believe it or not, a great foe of the Illuminist, Shiite Muslims. Muslims, Shiite Muslims. They hate them. The Illuminists hate Shiite Muslims. And then finally, New Testament Christians. New Testament Christians. Notice I didn't say evangelical, Protestant, Catholic. I said New Testament Christians. Now, here's the question for you. Can nationalists or patriots, individualists, Shiite Muslims, and or New Testament Christians win the victory over the megalomania, psychopathic behavior, and the money, power, and organization of Satan's Illuminati juggernaut? Can it be done? How can it be done? Which of these four groups can succeed? We'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Won't you stay with us? Do you know the magic codes of the Illuminati? Their secret signs? Their mysterious symbols? Well, you will know them if you get my book. This is Tex Mars again. And I have here on my desk a copy of my book, Codex Magica. The magic codes. The secret signs. The mysterious symbols. The hidden codes of the Illuminati. It'll tell you all about the Illuminati, why they do what they do. Yes, the fact that they're psychopaths, megalomaniacs, but they've got a purpose in mind. You better know their purpose. And they've got a cruel intent toward you, my friend. And they use hand signs, symbols. They even place their body in certain positions. They have rituals of a spiritual nature. And often they perform these satanic occult rituals in plain sight on television, in movies, magazines, newspapers. I've seen presidents, senators giving secret satanic hand signs. And people don't even know it. The cameras are there. The news people are there. Millions are watching. They're basically signaling, I love you, Satan, and nobody knows it. High-level Freemasons are communicating with each other. Why do they do it? Well, this book will tell you why. It gives them a great amount of power. You'd be amazed. There is an occult power to this, a Luciferian energy current that they tap into. And you need to know about this. They know about it. They study it. They're taught how to worship Satan. They know of the rituals. They go through the initiation ceremony step by step. Please get my book, Codex Magica. Now, it's about three times as large as the ordinary book. This is a heavy book. It's very heavy. Over 600 pages. Over 1,000 photographs and illustrations. You'll see these things pictured. I mean, some of the biggest named people in the world, celebrities, politicians, bankers, famous names, performing satanic rituals right there in plain sight. You'll be amazed. Magazines such as Time, Newsweek, used for these foul, nefarious, notorious purposes. I want you to have your copy of Codex Magica. No one has ever produced a book like Codex Magica. I guarantee it. A man wrote to me recently, and he said, Tex, I found a couple of photos in your book that are questionable. You know, I'm not sure of what you say on page 541 is correct, and on page 389. I had to laugh. You know, it's like going over the entire Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, 36 volumes, and saying, well, it's not perfect in volume, you know, 28, page 896, I found a misspelled word. I always laugh at people like that. Somebody wrote to me one time, and they said they had gone through Dr. Gail Ripplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions. And they said on page, I think it was 878, I found a mistake. So I don't endorse this book. They got to page 878 before they found what they think is a mistake. Reminds me of a man had a theological degree. He's passed away now, but I don't want to say anything bad about him. Bless his heart. Got a little mixed up there in his old age. He called me one day. We were talking about the Bible and scriptures. I told him that I was a King James man, and I told him why. He says, well, you know, I believe totally in the King James too, except there is one mistake I found, you know, in such and such a book, chapter such and such. I said, that's fantastic. Doctor, you found a mistake in the Bible? Yes, I found it. And, you know, and he gave it. Boy, that's great. You know more than God. You went through the whole Bible and found one mistake. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that think God makes mistakes. Of course, God didn't make any mistake in the Bible. Turns out that the good doctor simply didn't like that particular verse. He said, that just can't be. It's got to be a mistake. Reminds me of a gentleman who worked with the NIV committee. I actually knew the president of the NIV, the New International Version Translation Committee. And they asked him to look over the NIV Bible before it went to press. This was some years ago. So my friend, who was a well-known Bible scholar looked it over, and he noticed that the NIV people had something strange. In one of the Gospels where it talks about, you know, Jesus going to the Gadarene man and the guy that was in the cemetery that had a legion of devils in him, was possessed, and he had no clothes on. He was a wild man, and he was possessed by a legion of devils, and they couldn't chain him up or, you know, tie ropes around him. He had superhuman strength because he was possessed by devils. And when he saw Jesus coming from afar, he cried out, that is, the devils in him cried out, and said, "Jesus of Nazareth, why do you come here and torment us before our time?" I love that verse. Can you imagine Jesus drawing close, drawing nigh to a man possessed with untold numbers of devils in one body? Because Jesus said, "What is your name?" And they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." But they cried out in misery when they saw Jesus coming. They were scared. They were shaking and trembling. This man had superhuman strength. He could have broken anybody's neck in an instant, no doubt. But when he saw Jesus coming, the demons in him cried out in fear. "Jesus, why are you here? Have you come to torment us before our time?" Oh yes, they know. They know their time is limited for them to do evil. And Jesus is going to someday come and put an end to all of them and throw them in the very pit of hell where they'll be tormented forever and ever because of their rebellion. But they said, "This is not our time, Lord. We have some more time to torment human beings. Why are you here now before our time?" And then they begged Jesus. That's the devils begging. "If you're going to cast us out of this man, at least cast us into this herd of pigs, swine. We want to inhabit some kind of physical flesh." And Jesus did that. He gave them their wish. The legion of devils left the man in the tombs among the gravestones in the cemetery there. And all of this legion of spirits swarmed in and took over the bodies of a herd of pigs. And the Bible says they went insane, the pigs did. They went crazy. That's what will happen to you, my friends, when you get possessed by devils. That's what the Illuminati are. They went insane and they immediately headed for the cliffs because right near there was these cliffs, and they went right like a bunch of lemmings, went right over the cliff down and dashed themselves to death on the rocks below. Jesus did free that man from those devils. Now my friend was reading the NIV version and he got to that part and it read that Jesus came upon a man among the tombs in the cemetery that had a fit of epilepsy. And that's what it ended. He had a fit of epilepsy, so Jesus cured him of his epilepsy. The whole story, the true story about the devil saying their legions and all, it was gone. It had been wiped out of the New International Version. And so my friend went to the original Greek, he thought. Well, there it was, all about the devils and the legion and the pigs. And so he called up the president of the NIV Translation Committee and said, "You asked me to look over this Bible before it goes to press, this new NIV edition. This isn't right." And he explained it to him. The president of the translation committee said, "Oh, yeah, I'm glad you found that. I'm glad you caught it in time. I gave that to a couple of guys, you know, on the committee. And, you know, they just don't believe in devils and demon possession. So they took that out." Yeah, mm-hmm. People ask me why I don't trust the New Bible versions. If a man's a homosexual, he takes out the words in the Old Testament where it talks about God punishing Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever a man is guilty of, he doesn't want to be convicted of it, and he's willing to take out of the Bible. Friends, you better not take anything out of that Bible. You're warned in the book of Revelation. Well, in any case, Codex Magica, $35. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $40 for this unparalleled book. Order it by calling us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Hey, you can go to my website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There it is, right there on our homepage. Order the book. You can send us a check or money order or cash for $40. Send that to Power of Prophecy or to Tex Mars, either one, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And if you find an error or mistake on page 598, please, go ahead and let me know. I doubt if it's a mistake, but every once in a while I might misspell a word or have a wrong date or something. And I'm always appreciative of subsequent printings. Well, let's go on to my regular program now. The four great foes of Illuminism: nationalist, individualist, Shiite Muslims, and New Testament Christians. The Illuminati are scared of them, hate them. They're foes. Now, lesser foes are swallowed up by their own internal ideology and dynamic. Let me explain something to you. If you're an anarchist and you just hate all authority, they're going to swallow you up. They're going to beat you down. That's right. People who are anarchists have no hope. Hindus, they're just nothing but universalists. Masons basically believe in the Hindu gods. A woman one time told me that she didn't see anything wrong with believing in three. She was a Hindu, a woman from India. She called me on a radio program and said she didn't see anything wrong with worshiping 3 million gods and goddesses. Friends, when you worship 3 million gods and goddesses, you basically don't worship anything. And when you're so mixed up and confused that you've got 3 million gods and goddesses to worship, such as in Hinduism, the Illuminati just take advantage of you. They know you're crazy. Maybe not as crazy as them, but crazy enough to be manipulated. Then there's the moderate Muslims. Remember I said they hate? One of their great foes is Shiite Muslims. That's the fundamentalist. But they don't mind moderate Muslims because, like moderate Christians, they're willing to compromise. Somebody said, Wolf told me one time, the New World Order will never come to pass because America has a church on every corner. I just had to laugh. And every pastor in every one of those churches is a compromiser, usually. They're a moderate. They want to love people. They're men of great sentimental attachments. And the devil laughs at moderate Christians, moderate Muslims. Now, the moderates in the Christian community are the mainstreamers. They're liberals, liberal Christians. Well, I don't know if I believe the Bible. I don't know if I believe the miracles of Jesus. I don't know if I believe he really arose from the cross. I'm not sure that Jesus was any better than Mahatma Gandhi. I'm not sure that Jesus is God. He might have been a good rabbi. Shut up. You're not even a Christian. You're not a Christian. Now, libertarians are individualist. The problem with libertarians, though, is that they are immoral. They don't see anything wrong with abortion, killing babies. They don't see anything wrong with, like, a billy goat jumping from bed to bed. You say, well, I'm a libertarian and I'm a moralist. Well, you sure are a strange person. You better go back to, Ayn Rand and all the other objectivists and libertarians, because they sure believe in going from bed to bed. They believed in being immoral. Do your own thing, that libertarians say. Friends, while you're doing your own thing, the Illuminati are applauding. Yeah, do it, do it, do it. Until you come upon something they want you to do. And then they're going to say, we only want you to do this one thing. Remember seeing the famous movie with Glenn Ford, Brotherhood of the Bell. Sort of like Skull and Bones. This secret society made him what he was, and he didn't even know it. They gave him every promotion, every plum. He got everything he wanted in life. Finally, they came to him. They said, we have a little job for you to do. It's a dirty job. You've got to destroy this man's life. He said, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm a moral person. I'm a good person. If I wasn't such a good and moral person, I wouldn't have got to where I'm at today. And the secret society chieftain said, listen to me. You got where you are today because of us. And now you either do this or we're going to break you. We're going to destroy you. Libertarians are so open-minded that really there's nothing there. Open a man's mind, and sometimes you find it's just empty and vacuous. They're tolerant, too. Well, you know, I know that communism is bad, but I wouldn't want to, you know, tell people what to do. I was talking to a Christian woman the other night, and she says, well, I know abortion is evil and of the devil, but I don't believe in passing a law and forcing people to do things. Really? How about laws that say you can't rob banks? How about laws that say you can't kill people? How about laws that say you can't go 100 miles an hour? How about laws that say you can't just for fun holler fire in a crowded theater and so a stampede occurs and kills half the people in the theater? How about all those laws? Of course there are laws that force people to do moral things. Some people have to be forced. Or they'd be defrauding, stealing, killing, raping. You have to have a law that says a 40-year-old man can't have sex with a 12-year-old girl. If you don't have a law, they're going to be doing it, and poor little 12-year-old girls, they don't know what's going on. And there's monsters out there that'll take advantage.
Well, I believe abortion is wrong, but I don't want to pass a law making it a crime.
Oh, shut up. What you're saying is killing babies is wrong, but we don't want to make it a crime to kill babies. Oh, good. You're a sicko. Then there's the sex and pleasure-seeking materialist, hedonist. They're still Christians. Recently, they took a survey. They found that young people, 18 to 24, have as much sex out of marriage, I'm talking about Christians who are 18 to 24, have as much adultery and sex out of marriage as do secular youth. In other words, kids who said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, were fornicating as much as kids who said, no, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Well, if there's no difference, then you're defying what Jesus said. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. Your fruits are sexual hedonism. You're not a Christian. Shut up. You're a pretender. Then there's the evangelical Christians who are Judaizers. The Bible clearly says, Peter says in the Bible, it's the Christians who are chosen by God. Well, no, it's the Jews who hate Jesus. They're God's chosen people. You're going to be eaten up by the Illuminati. They love that. They love the stupid so-called Christians going around and saying, oh, I love Israel. I don't care if they kill all the Palestinians and torture them. I don't care if they're responsible for 95% of all the pornographic movies in America. I don't care if they're behind the ecstasy drugs and the crime cartels bringing in the drugs. I just love the Jews in Israel. Oh, I love them. Yeah. You love the devil's people. You love what the devil's doing. And you're no threat to the Illuminati. The Illuminati is not going to be going around this country closing down Christian churches. Get it out of your mind now. These big, gigantic churches pastored by Joel Osteen and Rick Warren, they're not going to send FBI, ATF, CIA agents in there. They know Joel Osteen is on their side. He is Big Brother's agent, and so is Rick Warren. They're not a threat to Big Brother. But if you have a little church out there, 20 people in the pews, and you're really preaching the word of God, ooh, you are a big threat. Why? They say some churches like that have as many FBI agents attending as they do people in the pews. Yeah. They're taking notes, having secret tape recorders. Well, that pastor, he could be plotting against Big Brother's government. Barack Obama must know about this. Then there's the prosperity-driven Christians. They're no threat. They got their mind on money. They don't care about people's rights. They don't care about the nation. They don't care about God and serving God. They say, Big Brother, thank you for your largesse. Thank you for everything you've given to me. Of course, they say it's God that gave it to them. Or God's going to give it to them. If they plant enough seeds of wealth, then they'll get so much wealth back. Boy, they're suckers. Big Brother's going to, you know, that's the guy he loves. Then there's the Catholics. I know you Catholics doing flip-flops now, you're getting mad at me, but listen to me. Papal obedience is your downfall. The Pope just called for a world authority, a new world order with teeth to control all the world's financial institutions, to bring all the nation states together. Well, it was a papal encyclical, and he's infallible, and we must do what he does. Please, I'll get on my knees and kiss his ring. Oh, Popey, you're wearing that beautiful dress. Friends, listen to me. I'm Tex Mars, and you can quote me on this. Beware of men wearing black dresses. Beware of men wearing black dresses and white dresses, for all that matter. And wearing Dagon fish hats. Beware of them. Do not kiss their rings. Because that's not the only thing they're going to want you to kiss. I don't mean to be rude, but the Pope never does wrong when he talks ex cathedra. Of course he does. There have been homosexual popes, pervert popes, Masonic popes, Rosicrucian popes, and now we got a new world order pope, Pope Benedict. Well, we must believe in a world authority. We must believe in the new world order. We must go along with Barack Obama. He met with the Pope, and they're all pally-wally now. Now, some say, well, what about the Jews? You didn't mention the Jews as a foe of Illuminism. Hey, they are the Illuminists. They're the in lockstep. They believe in Tikkun Olam, the mending or repair of the world, meaning make a new world, a Jewish utopia led by them. That's part of their Talmudic system. That's part of the Jewish Kabbalah. They believe they're gods on earth. They've been flattered. You're so special. Kill the best of the Gentiles, the Talmud says. Their holy book, the Halakha, their law, says Jesus is a dirty, blasphemous bastard rotting in hell. Actually, he's being boiled in excrement, boiling hot excrement today. And Jesus' mother, Mary, she was a whore. That's what the Jewish holy book, the Talmud, says. And if a rabbi says it doesn't say, he's nothing but a filthy liar himself. Get the book Judaism Discovered by Michael Hoffman, which we offer. Judaism Discovered. We sell it through this ministry. You can get it on our website, powerprophecy.com. It has all the quotes, all the information. You'll know exactly what the Jews really teach. Now, I know there's some Jews that say, well, I've gone to synagogue all my life, and I've never heard that stuff before. Yeah, you know, and there are Christians that sit in Christian pews, too, and they chew bubble gum, and they get out their comic books. And while the preacher's talking about the cross, they're reading about Superman. Or the Avengers or some other crazy story. Or they're just sitting there saying, man, I sure would be glad when this service is over. Mom made me go. I didn't want to be here. There are people like that. You know, you might be one. I pray not. Friends, I want to tell you something. The Shiite Muslims will eventually be taken over. They'll fight. They'll fight Illuminism. But they'll be taken over. They don't have any resources. They don't have any money. They got oil, but the Big Brothers oil companies own their oil. And if they try to take it over for themselves to help their own prosperity, then Barack Obama will send troops. Why do you think we sent troops into Iraq and killed their esteemed leader, Saddam Hussein? Why do you think we overthrew the Taliban? We want to put a pipeline through Afghanistan. Why do you think we're threatening Iran? You got it. Oil. We're not going to let them have anything. The sheikhs of and emirs of Kuwait and, you know, Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia, as long as they do what we tell them to do, what the Israeli government tells them to do, that's right, the Jews run them. Once if they just get on their knees and kiss the, you know, the fingers of the Jews, they'll leave them alone. They'll take most of their oil, but they'll leave them alone. And sometimes they can have a lot of money. The average person doesn't have a lot of money. But they have a lot of money. Now, why is it that nationalists are so powerful? Well, they make sense. And they believe in one thing, and they're not multiculturalist. They're not divided. But they still don't have power. They don't have the tanks. They don't have the F-16s. The individualists, their problem is they refuse to join up with others. United we stand, divided we fall. They fall. Because they're individualist. Who then does have the power? The nationalists, they do their best. The patriots, sometimes they do a lot of good. I'm a nationalist. I'm a patriot. But there's something missing. The Shiite Muslims, there's a lot missing. They worship a false god. And they believe in jihad. That's murder. That's no good. They'll be used as terrorists. They'll be fingered. They'll be destroyed. Why do I say then that the New Testament Christians are the only ones? Not the evangelical Christians, not the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Assemblies of God, and everybody that claims Jesus. I'm talking about true New Testament Christians. They refuse to obey Big Brother because they're going to obey Jesus only. They're not going to get debauched and immoral because they want a pure, clean life. Not a perfect life, but they do their best. And they ask for Jesus Christ and his power to come in them and the Holy Ghost to rule their life. They're disciplined. And let me tell you something, they're on a mission. Listen to me, friends. Every human being comes into this world and God has a mission for them. You have a purpose in this life. Now, the problem with Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, was it emphasized the individual. And people ran around saying, I wonder what my purpose is. You better ask what God has for your purpose. Seek God first, and then your purpose will become clear to you, dear friends. They have a purpose. A New Testament Christian has a purpose. They won't fall for the lies of Big Brother. They won't believe their gods. They can't be flattered. And they don't believe in murder, so they won't become terrorists. They're dogged. They're determined. They're resolute. And they're organized. They have the witness of Jesus Christ. They have their testimony. They have the scriptures to guide them. They have a guidebook. No one else has a guidebook. I know the nationalists have the Constitution, but it's not enough. Christians are few in numbers. They may not have the physical means, but the book of Revelation says they're the overcomers. They're the only one, according to Revelation 13, that will make war on the beast and eventually overcome him because it is a spiritual battle. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers in high places, my friends. Devils. Warped minds of men who are possessed. That's who we're fighting against. Friends, do you have a purpose in life? Do you have a mission? Come to know Jesus Christ. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He has arranged your life in advance. God has a purpose for you. Maybe you don't know it. Ask God, what is my purpose? What is my mission? Every man, every woman has a mission. You have a purpose. And if you fulfill that purpose, you'll be the most happy, most prosperous, most loving, most kind, most disciplined, most resolute, most determined, happiest person on earth. And you'll live forever. Forever. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Today we've been discussing the four great foes of Illuminism. The four great foes. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week to the same program, same radio frequency, or here on the internet 24/7. Yes, my friends, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.